This is the way. Yesterday, I watched the finale of season 2 of The Mandalorian. For those who are watching, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, hopefully. For those who are not familiar with the Star Wars series, The Mandalorian, it follows a member of the people from the planet of Mandalore. And these Mandalorians, they have a code that they live by. This code of ethics, of morality, of conduct. And so throughout the first 2 seasons, this phrase, "this is the way," is repeated many times. It's now becoming, in the Star Wars universe, an iconic phrase. "This is the way." It's getting repeated a lot. And after watching the season finale yesterday, I was sitting with that phrase, sitting with it and thinking about the times in the series when that phrase is used. It's in those moments when something happens in the plot that is a surprise. It's those moments in the narrative of this show where there's something revealed and unexpected. It's those moments when there's a sacrifice that has to be made. And when I, the viewer, sees those moments and think, "What?" The response that the character gives is, "This is the way." There's this understanding that this is the way. This is the way that things play out, and this is what we do because of who we are. It's interesting, every time that line is used, it's revealed more fully the identity of the Mandalorian. And I was sitting with this because I think for us, we sometimes have the opposite temptation. For those Mandalorians, they do something because of who they are. What they do flows from their identity. And yet, so often I think our temptation is to identify ourselves by what we do. And this is so dangerous for us. And it's something that as we enter into this Christmas season, today's scripture reveals the importance of correcting that. Because today's scripture is revealing who our God is to us so that we can come to understand more fully who we are. So much of the identity that's wound up in today's scripture is preparing us to be able to receive more fully what's coming at the nativity of our Savior. And so to focus on what is being revealed about God is important because this is the way that he acts. This is the way that he interacts with his people. And so we need to take a moment to behold, to have revealed to us the identity of our God so that we may more fully have revealed to us our own identity as beloved sons and daughters of that God. The idea of behold, as we enter into this Christmas season, we're going to hear that word so many times. And it is an invitation for us to stop and to reflect on what is being revealed about the way our God relates to us. In our first reading, we have this beautiful relationship between our Lord and King David, a great king of Israel, a king who is responding constantly to his relationship with God. And it's not always beautiful. Sometimes he falls and there's repentance. And that relationship continues to grow. And as we join him in our first reading, he has just defeated the last of his armies. He's entering into a time of peace. And instead of sitting with that, he says, "I need to be doing something. I need to do something for my Lord because here I am in this palace, this wonderful house. I need to build a house for the Lord. I need to do something." And the Lord responds to him and says, "No, stop. Just behold the reality. Sit in the peace that I have prepared for you. And in fact, to help you do this, I'm going to make a promise. You don't have to build the house, David. I'm going to build the house. And just sit and enjoy who you are. Because I'm going to give you something wonderful. This house will be a never-ending line. I'll do that for you because you are my beloved. And what we see unfold, what is revealed to us, is that this is so multifaceted. The promise from our Father is so huge that it has to be revealed and is being continually revealed to us, his sons and daughters. Because with every prophecy, there's an immediate reality that is fulfilled. And so we see David's son, Solomon, he builds the temple. That is the son who comes and builds the house. And so in the immediate, that prophecy is fulfilled. But what we see with every prophecy is that it continues to be fulfilled. And actually, it's pointing to realities within salvation history. What has come and what is to come and is coming. And so we see the Son, Christ, come and continues that line of David. And because he is eternal, he makes of that house an eternal reality. Again, that prophecy being fulfilled. And now having with it that everlasting aspect that the Father promised. Now here's the beauty of it for each and every one of us. That prophecy, that promise is still continuing today. In each one of us, God promises to build this house. To continue this promise in each of our lives. That his glory may be revealed within us. And to those around us, this is the way our God works, immediately and eternal. And we are invited into that by our relationship with him, a relationship that we are called to continue to grow and have revealed to us. We need those moments to stop and say, whoa, wait, what's happening? To be surprised by how everything's playing out and to sit with the reality, this is the way. This is the way that our God works. To receive and allow him and give him permission to work is important. To sit in wonder at how he is making things new with the realities that we are experiencing. In the Annunciation, in our gospel, this is really brought to light. I mean, for us, Mary is a huge figure. And so in 2020, we could say, oh yeah, of course, Mary, blessed among women. Of course, she's the one chosen to be this temple, to house the glory of God. But who was she then? For us to look at, in that time period, this lowly virgin, she was nobody. That our God could use the lowly to bring about his glory. This is the way that he works. This is the way that our God reveals himself to us. And so this final week of Advent, for us to sit and contemplate and think about God using the lowly parts of my life to bring about his glory. And so often we want to do great things for him. We want to do things and we fill our day with doing. But the reality is our God just wants to be with us. Emmanuel. Let's sit with that reminder. The reminder that through our baptisms, we are brought into this family relationship. We are sons and daughters of this Father who has made a promise and is keeping a promise and will always keep that promise. It's beautiful that today Ivy is entering into the church and we get to witness a baptism, a reminder of our own relationship with our God, that we have been brought into this family relationship, that this house is being made in us. And for us to sit and think, okay, Where are the places right now that I need to just create space to sit with that reality? So I think going into this week, this final week of Advent, as we prepare for the great reality of Christmas, this great mystery of who our God is and what it reveals about who we are, our homework is not to do anything. We need to take a moment to sit in the peace that has been given through that relationship. A moment to sit and marvel at who our God is and how he works, so that we can allow him space to work within the chaos in our lives, amidst the loneliness and all that we are experiencing in this year of 2020, that we could give him permission to use the lowly to bring about his glory. Let us sit and marvel at that in this coming week, because this is the way.